Hello and welcome to The Entrepreneurs on Monocle Radio, the show all about inspiring people, innovative companies and fresh ideas in global business. Today's programme is all about old and new world wine destinations. First, we'll head to Switzerland to meet a vintner whose love for organic winemaking was passed down through generations.
All the vines here are Chasselas. This type of grape is from the area, and so we're very proud because we are very old vineyards with his own variety, in fact. That's great.
And we'll meet the founder of an agency working to build up and promote wine tourism in South Africa.
You are coming to Cape Town, you are coming for Table Mountain and the natural beauty, and then you're discovering that we have this incredibly rich wine and wine tourism offering in close proximity to the city.
This is The Entrepreneurs with me, Tom Edwards. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs. First up on today's programme, we head to the terraced vineyards of Lavaux in Switzerland, located in the Vaud Canton on the outskirts of Lausanne, just a short train ride from the city. This region is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and stretches some 30 kilometres along Lake Geneva, although you'll soon learn why some locals aren't too fond of that name. At 800 hectares, it's home to the largest vineyard area in the country and dotted with picturesque villages, paths for hikes and bike rides, and of course, many opportunities to sample the wine. Our Laura Kramer, of course, rose to that challenge and headed to the village of Epes to meet the current winemaker at one of the estates, the eponymous Blaise Dubout, to hear about the diversity of wines produced in the region and the opportunities for Swiss wine in the international market.
My name is Blaise Dubout, and I'm a vintner, a winemaker, whatever, a vigneron in French, in Lavaux. I'm the 18th generation, so that we're here about 600 years. But I didn't do so much for that. I was just born in the family, so my job is to be ready for the 18th generation, which is another work.
Yeah, but I bet when you're really young, they're already feeding you a little bit of wine.
Oh, yeah. No, of course, you know, as I was with my grandfather because my father was working, of course, and I was in the vineyards with my grandfather, and he was teaching me things, you know, slowly at his rhythm. And so that was great. Yeah, that's yeah. The way we learn things around. The vineyards of Lavaux have been made. It's an architectural vineyard. It's not something that you just come and you plant and then you have vineyards and you can make wine. It was a lot of work that happened in the 11th century, and that's the work of the Cistercian monks who deforest the area. Oh, we are in the tiny little village of Epes, and Epes is written with an E with an accent on the top. It means there was an S just after. So Epes, and the Pes in Latin means the pine trees. So this area was recovered with pine trees, and the monks deforest the area to make the terraces and then to plant the vineyards.
It's funny because you maybe see one or two pines in the distance.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. On the top of the village, over there in the hill, up of, you can see some pine trees, Mediterranean pine trees. You see, very flat. They're very green. They're still green, in fact, over there. It was covered with pine trees. It's very difficult to maintain them, and it's a lot of work to be able to take care of the walls here.
Can you tell me again about the lake here? What are we looking at?
Oh, the lake just in front of us facing south. It's the Lake of Geneva, as we say in English. But as you know, probably, in Switzerland, we don't like that very much, especially here, because Geneva is far away from where we are in Epes, tiny little village in the middle of Lavaux. And for us, this is the Léman, the big water in Celtic language. And we see a boat with some sand. You see the boat over there in the middle of the lake? It looks like it's sunking, you know, it's so flat and so close to the water. Incredible.
So the vineyards are facing south towards the lake.
Exactly.
They are very steep. We go down and there are rows and rows of vineyards. Tell me about what quality this brings to the wine and the importance of that.
Here in the area, we talk about the three sons of Lavaux. Have you heard about that? It's not a joke, in fact. It's a reality, in fact. The first son is the one who shines the whole day. Not today, it's behind the clouds now. The lake, reflection of the sun on the lake. And then the walls, because they get burned by the sun, and then they will give back the heat during the night. So that's definitely something that gives something special to the area. You know what I mean? It's a special microclimate or mesoclimate, we should say, because microclimate will be rather close to the bunch of grapes. So that's just for the whole area. That's why we say mesoclimate.
You know, I remember I was here in Lausanne a few years ago and actually sat on one of the walls. It was early evening, late afternoon. And I did recall how hot that stone
was. It's like a heater, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. And this is something very special because now with the climate change, well, it used to be a plus, let's say in the Middle Ages. But today, it's maybe not a plus because we have a lot of sun. The temperature is so hot. This year in Celsius, we had something like 39, 40, and probably 20, 25% of the leaves get burned by the sun.
So what measures are you putting in place to make up for that extra heat?
The first thing, and you know, when we are pruning, we are at a certain level from the soil. We have, let's say, a wire where we bend the cane, right? And we attach them. So we are rising this level. We used to be 65 centimeters from the soil. Today we are 95. So we have less reflection. And then, of course, with the leaves, we're able to let more leaves to protect the bunches. That's what we're already doing. We used to remove them to have a better flux of hair in the middle of the rows, you know, that's so everything is well aerated, if I may say. And now we're doing the opposite. We just cover to protect. That's the idea, mainly.
Okay.
And of course, I'm organic farming and certified. So having a lot of grass in the vineyard is also a protection because the leaves of the whatever, the grass, the weeds, we don't talk about weeds, we talk about grass because it helps us. We'll definitely keep some humidity and we have less evaporation. So that's also good. Here, now we are in Laura, we are just in the middle of the Calama. It's a very special place under the village of Epes. Again, we are we're not that far from the lake. It's doing a line straight down to the lake, let's say 300 meters. But to walk, it's a little longer. Anyway.
I noticed that coming up here.
And the Calama it's a soil, if I may say, that have been made by the landslide. As we can see on the top of the hill over there, it's a huge cliff. And you can imagine that that part of the hill fall down was turning on itself by the slow with gravity, and that mixed everything, and the landslide stopped in that place. We call it Calama. It's a AOC Grand Cru, registered area Grand Cru, with a very specific history. Let's say that the word Calama means the place where the landslide stopped. In French, when you mix up your pedal when you're driving your car, the car stops. We say Calais in French. Le Calama, the place where the landslide stopped. That's the idea. It's coming from the Middle Ages. And it's a long time ago. So that's a very, very, very special wine. Having a very special density. You can feel in the wine. It's heavier than any other terroir of Lavaux. We have a lot of clay, a lot of limestone. It's a double-stuff soil, in fact. We have a double-stuff soil. And the wine is a little bit, maybe the structure of the wine is quite special. It's not fluid. It's definitely thicker than that. Not oily, but you know what I mean. Heavier, very mineral. This minerality is given by the two soils, of course. But also, the soil stress the vine a little bit because so much clay retain the water, and the vine, when it wants to pump up the water, needs a lot of power, a lot of pressure to get the water up the plant. And then that will stress a little bit the vine. And this stress, you will find it back in the wine by a touch of bitterness. But a touch, I'm not talking bitterness, right? It's not a beer. You know what I mean? It's just a touch. And this is quite a flat sensation. It's not a, how to say, asymptotic. You just feel it. And that's definitely the soil that's giving this special taste.
A little stress is a good thing.
It's a good thing, even for us.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to say something, Laura. All the vines here are Chasselas, which is a very specific vine. This type of grape is from the area, from Lake Léman region. We know it since 5 years now, and so we're very proud because we are very old vineyards with his own variety, in fact. That's great.
Tell me the numbers. How many?
All Lavaux is 809 hectares, registered at UNESCO World Heritage. We are around 158 vintners, women and men. That's great. Finally, we have women in our job. Yes, finally. It took some time. But anyway, maybe it's because it's a little tough here around to work in the vineyards. But they were there at the beginning too, so we have
to
remember.
I've been doing my part, but it's on the other side.
Okay.
Consuming it.
Okay. So most of the vineyard is planted with a Chasselas, a white grape variety of the area, as I told you, just told you. Let's say 70%, 70, 75%. And then the rest, we have a little Chardonnay, a little Sauvignon Blanc, but the rest is red varieties. And the red of the area is the Plan Robert. Very special. It's a Massal selection. Massal because it's selected in the field. It's not a clonal selection, that's what I want to say. And let's say that we are producing now something like 5% of Plan Robert, which is a very local variety of a very old Gamay, in fact. But incredible. Very tasty. Cherry nose. A little smoky, which is quite strange, in fact, because it definitely expressed this smokiness. And let's say a touch of black pepper in the mouth. Something spicy. Incredible. And the color is quite dense, yes.
So what do you suggest to eat something like that?
Oh, lamb. Lamb is perfect, but something that you cook, you know, stew, something, not necessarily a fillet or whatever, something like you've been cooking for hours, like the beef cheeks, you know, those kind of things, that's perfect. The Plan Robert is a little rustique, you know, something. It's not a fine wine. No, it's something that you have to go in. Well, I love it.
So how many different wines do you have?
In our estate, I mean, in the cellar, we're making definitely different types of wine. With the Chasselas, of course, the terroir is mainly the base. So in Lavaux, we have 8 different types of soils. We've named them by the name of the villages where it comes from. So I have a Villette, which is a very light soil, gravelly and sandy, making a very salty wine, perfect for aperitif or, you know, like maybe raw fish, tartare of fish, something like that, sushi, sashimi, carpaccio, whatever. And then we have Epes, where we are, the village where I live, which is definitely a heavier soil because it's on the top of the Calamand Grand Cru we've just been talking about. It's also clay. I mean, it's a lot of clay, 44% of clay. It's incredible. This is probably the highest level I've never seen in a field, probably for making wine, and definitely. Then the Désalé Grand Cru, very famous in this area. This is the steepy area of Lavaux. And well, when we're talking about the Calamand is 16 hectares altogether, and the Calamand Grand Cru. Désalé Grand Cru, it's only 53.8. It's very strange because it's a soil made with an oxidated rock. So it's something very special, very mineral. Also, a lot of limestone and clay, but definitely different than the Calamand, definitely. Then you go to the Saint-Saphorin, which is another village from here, let's say 4 kilometers. And then you will arrive in a very rocky area again. We have a rock here looking like a concrete, but a natural concrete. We call it pudding because it's a mix of little stones. It's like big gravel, you know, it's big stones compact with limestone. But it's a very impressive rock.
And do you sell internationally as well? Because I think I remember last time I was here, it was something like Swiss wines, only 1% are exported.
1.2, please.
Oh. Désolé.
Yes, exactly. Yes, we export in England. I do export in England. My wine importer is Goldclay of Nottingham. Yes, please. They are doing a very good job. I'm at the Pall Mall 67. Maybe if you heard about the special club, wine club. So that's for England. Then in France, of course. Let's say Lyon, because we have a very good contact. You know, they love eating, having wines and things. And finally, the Rhone River is definitely starts in Switzerland and then go to France. So why not? That's the following the Rhone. That's the idea. Japan, We have very, very good customers. Though this is definitely a niche market. You know, they have these types of table d'hôte, specific restaurant, only maybe 25, 30 people. And that's where we have our wine. It's incredible, with the sushi, perfect. I think they are connected by the sake, which is a very subtle alcohol. You know, it's very difficult to understand the different types. It depends the type of rice, the quality of the water, how fresh the water is, and of course the batteries that works to ferment the rice. It's exactly the same thing with the Chasselas. The Chasselas is not exactly that easy to go.
And so what's next then for your winery and Swiss wines internationally?
Oh, Swiss wine internationally. I have to tell you that all Switzerland together is not bigger than all Alsace. 15,000 hectares, even a little less. So can you imagine? We can export, but a little bit. But anyway, that's very interesting because we always have to go in niche markets. We have to know the people where we sell our wines. And I think that's a very good thing because we have a good contact by that way.
That's good then. People have to come here to
experience it. Exactly. But we have to be here and open to have them at home to taste the wine, to talk about it. And definitely, I prefer this type of contact, definitely.
That was the winemaker Blaise Dubou, and you can learn more by heading to blaisedubou.ch. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs. Next on the programme, we switch to the Southern Hemisphere and the vineyards of South Africa, another country beloved of travelling wine lovers. Plenty of the credit for that is due to the efforts of Destinate, a tourism marketing agency founded by Cape Town entrepreneur Mariette Dutoy-Embol. Through a careful campaign promoting the incredible natural beauty of the country's many appellations, Destinate's been able to boost wine tourism revenues, with savvy travellers now choosing to stay in wine country rather than merely making day trips. Monocle correspondent Ivan Carvalho recently caught up with Mariette at a wine event in Portugal to learn more.
The world of wine can be overwhelming, given the many producers, big and small, scattered around the globe, from old world estates in Europe to new world wineries in places like Australia. One country punching above its weight is South Africa, with its amiable selection of red and white wines and a varied hospitality offering for those keen to visit the wine country and the nation's incredible nature and wildlife. But to get people into the cellars and vineyards required a strategy. So locals, in 2013, turned to Cape Town entrepreneur Mariette Dutoy-Embol, whose agency, Destinate, specializes in marketing tourism.
Wine tourism was one of my first big projects. I was approached by the Stellenbosch Wine Roots and to start looking at bringing tourism and wine closer together because in many regions they were separate. And that led to eventually me writing the first wine tourism strategy for South Africa, recognizing that wine tourism is one of the top five attractions in South Africa, but not being used proactively to position the country in terms of tourism. For many years, people had known South Africa for safari and the bush, but not for its dynamic and vibrant cities or for its lifestyle offering and its wine. So wine tourism is a way also to deal with issues and challenges like seasonality. A lot of people would come to Cape Town in the summer and the regions would be really quiet in winter, where wine tourism was a way to disperse people from the main meccas of the cities into the regions. And of course, economic development being hugely important for a country like South Africa, where we are still faced with a lot of economic challenges, political challenges, social problems. And tourism is a brilliant vehicle to empower and to also boost the economies, often of rural areas that need it the most.
One challenge for Dutoy-Embol was to overcome stereotypes about South Africa, given that not a lot of outsiders had a good understanding of its wines and appellations.
Many people don't realize that South Africa is actually not a new wine destination. We have been making wine for 365 years this year. It's the birthday of South Africa's wine, 365 years. And wine tourism was first started in the 70s for, I guess, practical purposes, to distribute wine amongst the regions and to the cities, and then also for domestic travelers to enjoy the regions. So it's very much in the blood of South Africans and people from the Western Cape to enjoy the vineyards and the rural areas. And it was eventually starting to be formulated in the 2000s into wine tourism. And in many ways, South Africa now is a leader in wine tourism. It's something that comes natural to us. We have this incredible desire to share our cultures and our regions with the world. And I think the challenge that we have is that there's a lot of perceptions about South Africa, right? Africa at first. We first have to persuade the world to come to Africa and then to visit the southernmost tip of this great giant continent. And there is not a lot of information or knowledge about South Africa as a destination. So certainly from a wine tourism perspective, I think a lot of people still think of wine tourism as maybe for the more well-known regions like Napa or some of the New World destinations or Europe. But South Africa's wine tourism is extremely well-positioned and well-developed, actually, with more than 24 wine routes. There are many regions. They are all very well connected and very accessible from the center of Cape Town. Within a three-hour radius, you can visit so many different regions. The challenge for us always is getting people to come to the region. So knowledge and awareness, and then the access into the destination with flights. It's a long-haul destination. But once people arrive, they are completely overwhelmed by the magic of the destination, the value for money proposition, and the quality of the experience.
Besides tackling the issue of seasonality, Du Toit Embold wanted travelers not to see winery visits as an add-on to a vacation, but a fundamental part of the experience.
So the real magic of the destination is that the wine regions are within close proximity to a lot of the major tourism attractions. So Cape Town now is recognized under the top travel destinations in the world from a city tourism perspective. And wine tourism is this wonderful add-on. You are coming to Cape Town, you are coming for Table Mountain and the natural beauty, and then you're discovering that we have this incredibly rich wine and wine tourism offering in close proximity to the city. So it's really easy for people. Part of our strategies have been to encourage people to actually flip it around and stay in the wine regions, and from there to explore the bigger attractions like Cape Town and Robben Island and Table Mountain. So that was a big campaign we did for the Stellenbosch region. A challenge we had there was that people would come to Cape Town and they will do a wine tour, and it will be in and out, but there was no real revenue being spent or kept within the wine regions. So we flipped it around with the Visit Stellenbosch campaign to say, use the wine regions as your base, and from here, explore the city and explore other regions. And as a result, regions like Stellenbosch's tourism now is booming with a lot of guest houses, hotels, wine tourism experiences, and a lot of visitors are choosing to stay in the wine region and from there to explore the rest of the country. We have some really beautiful wine regions in extraordinary places. One of my favorite wine routes is the Himmel and Aarde Valley wine route, which is means heaven on earth. And it's located really close to a small town called Hermanus, which is very famous for its whale watching. So for many years, Hermanus has been known as the Mecca for whales. Now, of course, it's the wine and whale Mecca. And we have some of the world's leading wine tourism destinations like Creation, which came number 4 in the world best vineyards and number 1 in Africa.
Another important focus for Destinate is the attention the agency pays to smaller boutique properties to provide travelers with fun and quirky opportunities that also help boost the rural economy.
I think for visitors, we want to deep dive into a destination when we arrive. We want locals to show us the secrets. And that is a core part of our business, is working with the really wonderful gems of the regions that people would otherwise miss. And I am obsessed with showing people and introducing them, I guess, to the warm heart of the winelands in South Africa. So we prefer to work with a lot of more smaller, more boutique properties where you have the experience to meet the owners, to drink wine with the winemaker, to have quirky experiences, to have experiences that you wouldn't otherwise have had the privilege and the pleasure to have as a normal traveler. One of the leading trends for 2024, which I absolutely love, is delightful distractions. I think in this crazy time that we find ourselves where the world is really fractured, we are craving that element of surprise. We are craving that childlike wonder. We want to arrive to a place and be in awe again and be reminded what it is to be human and what it is to be truly alive. So we like to play with that element of surprise. Of course, people will have and experience the main attractions, but we will always add in the quirky and the unique and the fun and getting people to meet up and break bread and enjoy wine with really interesting characters, perhaps over a braai, which is a barbecue in South Africa. So we have often allowed visitors to meet up with a winemaker and let him braai for them and share a meal or go on a wine safari in the vineyards and taste the wine in the blocks where they are made or they are grown. We provide you with an opportunity to meet the good chefs and eat in the nice restaurants, but also to eat in someone's home and share the experiences and the stories. So those wonderful elements of surprise make people really fall in love and understand the nuances of a place like South Africa, which is a complex destination. It's so important for visitors to know that by visiting some of the smaller boutique estates, where the community is involved in the tourism experience, where you are able to go and have a simple meal with the local family in the township, you are able to meet up-and-coming young black winemakers, you are able to share in the stories, walk around in the vineyards, meet the people. That experience is not just enriching for the visitor, but it really helps to uplift a local community that would otherwise be in a really difficult position to survive economically.
That was Mariette Dutoy-Embol, the founder of Destinate. And you can learn more about the brand by heading to destinate.co.za. That's it for this episode of The Entrepreneurs. We'll be back at the same time next week. Do look out for Eureka, available every Friday. The programme was produced by Laura Kramer, with mixing and editing by Tamsin Howard. You can listen again and find out more about the show at monocle.com. That's where you can also subscribe to Monocle magazine and read more about better businesses every month. You can also follow us and catch up with the archive via your preferred podcast platform. To contact the team, email Laura on lrk@monocle.com. I'm Tom Edwards, goodbye, and thanks for listening to The Entrepreneurs.